Welcome to the Digicom Cafe, located at the intersection of faith and technology. We hope you enjoy your cafe experience where we cater to your digital and spiritual appetites, and build interest in the amateur radio hobby, one story at a time. Please stand by as we get ready to launch this episode of Radio on the Rocks. You are about to listen to a Radio on the Rocks Cafe Cast interview, which occurred on February 16, 2019 at the Breakfast Club in the Digicom Cafe Multimode Communications Network, with Danny J, KD5DLJ, and guest Scott Irwin, W8UFO.
Thank you very much, Danny, and good morning, everyone. My name is W8UFO, and I am located in Riverview, Florida, and my first name here is Scott. Today, I wanted to tell you a little bit about my backstory, how ham radio and Christ has enhanced my life, and then provide some tips about things that you can do if you're having vision issues as it relates to ham radio and technology. If you have any questions, feel free to let me know after I give my story and whatnot. And my hope is that we'll have a little bit of a discussion today on how ham radio enhances your life and what you do when you have vision problems. Right? So I was born in Detroit, Michigan, and as a child moved up to the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. It was a great place to grow up. However, it was one of isolation. In high school, I was bullied a lot, and I'll talk about that in just a minute. But as a toddler, I was diagnosed with two conditions. One was an eye alignment problem, and the other was optic nerve hypoplasia. Optic nerve hypoplasia means that the optic nerves never formed all the way. Think of the optic nerves as the pipeline from the retina and the eyes to the brain. In my case, they're smaller than normal. So if you think of the optic nerve like a pipe carrying water, you have to have so much water or information to transfer what the eye is seeing from a visual perspective to the brain. In my case, those pipes aren't quite big enough. So that has left me blind in the right eye and 20/70 in the left. If I were to take off my glasses, I'd be pretty much legally blind. So, in high school, or in school in general, I was bullied a lot, as I said before. The lockers at the school used a combination lock, the spin dial type with the small numbers. So the school gave me a different locker with a padlock. And while that was great for me because I could get in and out of it, the challenge was finding it every morning when getting to school. Students realized that it wasn't bolted down, so the game of the day turned into, where in the world is my locker? So after high school, I moved to Ironwood, Michigan, which is on the western part of the Upper Peninsula, just north of Wisconsin. I went through college with pretty good results. I was able to live life with the vision problems and basically found ways to do things that normal people could. So when you look at me or when you hear me on the radio, you don't realize that I have a vision problem. After college, I moved to another spot to pick up a job doing computer aided drafting and design. The problem with that job is that it was second shift. So on top of moving to a new town, we had some family drama. Unfortunately, my stepfather had decided to take his own life. So I was in a new area and really didn't know anybody. Ham radio was that outlet. A family friend had gotten me interested into CB radio, and from there the interest in ham radio grew. The great thing about ham radio is that it helped me meet new people and is an equalizer. I keep thinking of the comment that Denny made after we had a discussion last week about, hey, I wouldn't even know you had a vision problem. I'd be really interested in hearing your story. So that's how I came to be the guest on today's net. After a couple of years in Iron Mountain, Michigan, working in computer-aided drafting and design, I ended up moving to the Milwaukee area in pursuit of an engineering degree. And when that didn't work out, we ended up moving to Chicago. Talk about culture shock. Right there, ham radio was with me. It again helped me meet new people and helped us get established in the area. About that same time we were in the Chicago area, some folks from church invited me to the Greater Chicago Great Banquet. Now, the Great Banquet is a three-day event in which you disconnect yourself from the outside world and spend time with others learning about Christ. And one of the messages that stuck out there was pride. So for many years, I didn't ask folks for much of anything in terms of getting places. Since I'm blind in one eye and can't see out of the other, I don't drive. But that lesson in pride was a big one because it's helped with ham radio as well. So now you have my backstory. The one piece that I didn't tell you about is that we moved to Riverview, Florida, which you probably gathered since I introduced myself from being there at the beginning of the presentation. But that lesson in pride has carried over. And ham radio has helped us meet yet more nice people, including some folks who are down here from the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. So we occasionally get a taste of home. Folks in the radio club are very aware that I have the vision disability and have been really gracious in terms of offering rides and other assistance. Now that you have my backstory, I'd like to give you some tips that have helped me utilize ham radio and really use it to enhance my life. The first thing is be upfront with the vision issues. We all have different talents, and unfortunately, as much as I like to build kits, soldering and I just don't get along. Even with magnifiers and other tools to help with that, one of the things that I do have is an orbital nystagmus, so my eyes are constantly moving, and of course it takes focus to solder. But there are hams who love to do that type of thing, so the next tip really is to understand who has what skills in your radio club and or your network and use those to your advantage, but also offer to help and mentor others. So for myself, I love teaching and training and do a lot of work in trying to bring new hams to the hobby and get folks engaged. I'm also really good with technology, so if somebody is able to help me with soldering, then I'm able to help them with the technology side. The next thing would be, don't be afraid to ask for help. We've all been new hams at one point in time, and we all have things that we just can't get done ourselves or we don't understand. So ask for that help. There's a lot of folks that will help you out. I've only got a couple more tips here, and then we can maybe start some dialogue. The next thing that I always try to do is look for radios that are vision friendly. And what I mean by that is radios with larger displays. A couple of my favorites are the Yaesu FT847. That radio has a very nice display with large numbers and also has a voice module that you can actually put into the radio. The DMR6X2 is another one that's by BTEC. And there's other ones out there that are very similar by Anytone and, I believe, TYT. Those displays you can set up various colors and font sizes. With the 847, like the voice options. So the ID51A by ICOM has voice capabilities where you can set it so when you hit a key, it'll tell you what key you pressed and also the frequency and PL tone that are set on the radio. AMD710GA also has a very similar thing with the VGS1. VGS1 is a voice module, but it can also do recording. The neat thing about some of these modules is they can serve other functions. For example, on the 710, for APRS, I can set it so when a message comes in, it'll tell me the call sign. And finally, a couple of other technology tips here. There is an easy way to zoom in Windows. If you hold down the Windows key on your keyboard, you can actually use the plus and minus keys to zoom in and zoom out on a particular area of the screen. centered on your mouse. You can also pull up the magnifier tool and configure other options, such as strip magnifier at the top of the display. If you're on a Mac, which I am, it's even easier to use the zoom feature. Hold down the control key, and if you have a mouse, use the scroll wheel to scroll up to zoom in and scroll down to zoom out. If you have a trackpad or a magic mouse, it's two fingers to scroll up to zoom in, and then two fingers to scroll down to zoom out, all while holding the control key. And finally, some cell phones do have a magnifier option. In the iPhone, you can actually add that to the control center or command center so that when the phone is locked, that magnifier icon is on the home screen or on the lock screen. So when I'm in a restaurant and need to see a menu that's hanging on the wall, I can just bring up the magnifier. And if your phone doesn't have a magnifier, use the camera app and use the zoom option in the camera app for things like that. I also find the flashlight feature on mobile devices handy for low lighting situations where you need to look at a menu. All right, so needless to say, ham radio and being a bit Christ-centered has enhanced my life quite a bit, and I've been able to provide this group with some tips on improving their experience with the hobby and with technology as it relates to being vision impaired.
Well, I got a question or two. Number one, I kind of relate to what you were talking about regarding your childhood experience. I, too, have a lazy eye. And for quite a while, I had to go through all these various exercises with a pencil. You probably know exactly what I'm talking about. Side to side, focusing on the eraser head, bringing it up till my eyes crossed, looking at it in front of my nose to try and build those muscles in the eye. And eventually had to go to the doctor regularly, the eye doctor, sitting in a chair and watching this red light go around in a circle and around and around and around. I had to do that for like a half an hour to help build those eye muscles. And it eventually healed and got strong and didn't give me any more problems. But I, in a small way, can relate to what you're going through, although my vision wasn't really impaired. But that's quite a story, and thank you for sharing that. Obviously, you have compensated for it in so many ways that has made you very talented and gifted in, number one, communicating. Great job this morning. You're a gifted communicator and an asset to amateur radio in the community, and also in technology. Could you tell us a little bit more about where people can reach you? For example, on Telegram, I know you're active over there and providing all kinds of helpful information and tips there. Back to you, KD5DLJ.
Thank you, Denny. I appreciate that. And one of the problems with the eye alignment is that they had to correct it with surgery, and that's actually what spurred the orbital nystagmus. So the eyes are constantly moving around, and that does breed a challenge with peripheral vision and some other things. Folks can reach me at, they can find my website at www.whufo.net. I'm on Telegram and Instagram as Scott D. Irwin, all one word. Again, Scott D. Irwin. And I'm on Twitter as WHUFO. So those would be some good ways to get in touch with me there. And I can provide an email address so folks can drop me a line if they'd like. The email address is scott.irwin, I-R-W-I-N, at w8ufo.net. So again, Scott, S-C-O-T-T, dot Irwin, I-R-W-I-N, at w8ufo.net.
Very good. Thank you for that. Also, I know that I've heard from several other of my friends that are vision impaired that they especially love Zello because of the ease of use and how it works with audio feedback. Do you use audio feedback at all on any of your devices, and how is that set up?
That's another great question. Because of the vision problem, I do rely on hearing. So I do sometimes use VoiceOver on the Macintosh. And the Windows is a little bit more of a challenge for the screen reader, but There is some capabilities there. As far as Zello goes, I haven't really done much with the audio feedback. I'll have to look into that. There is the transmit and the end of transmission beeps, but I wasn't aware that there was additional functions. So we learn things every day.
Well, obviously, in your situation, the power of voice is very helpful, very influential. And speaking of power of voice, I believe you use some of these AI devices like the Echo Dot, Echo series of devices, or Google Assistant and things. Are there some special skills or special functions there that really help you in your amateur radio hobby?
There are. I actually have quite a few skills installed on my device. I'm really into the weather, so a couple of skills that I use related to the weather are personal weather, Bloom Sky, and Allison House. So the three of those provide temperature and humidity and those types of things. From an amateur radio perspective, I find myself using the ham radio buffet, which is the skill that you put together, Denny. That actually has a wealth of streaming audio and other options for it as well. I also used a skill that would give me the space weather information, and unfortunately the developer stopped using that skill, or stopped supporting that skill. So, I do find myself gravitating to the assistants for a lot of voice-related news and other items on demand.
That's good to know. In fact, I'm looking up the Allison House now. I don't know if that's maybe not the name. I'm not finding it on Amazon. Tell me more about this Allison House one. Where would I find it?
Certainly. So let me take a step back. So the Allison House requires a skill for weather. It actually requires an Allison House subscription. So if you have an Allison House feed, you can definitely find it. Allison House. So if you're using Allison House data for things like GR Level X, or another piece of software like RadarScope, you can actually find it. You can actually download it and set it up so that it's linked to your Allison House account. You can ask it things like, Allison House, tell me if there's any watches, or Allison House, tell me the forecast of the day. It'll also tell you the nearest lightning strike.
Okay, well, very good. I do use Allison House software. I'm using GR2 Analyst for weather. I love the radar feature. Especially being able to go into a storm in 3D, spin it around, and adjust the color levels to see what's actually happening deep in the storm. I didn't know they had an attached skill to that. That's very cool. Regarding devices, as a vision-impaired person, what devices do you favor? And do you favor any particular applications on those devices that you could recommend for others that experience what you experience?
I actually prefer the Apple iPhone XS because of the screen size. It allows me to set the fonts a little bit larger and also use the zoom feature. To enable the zoom feature on an iPhone, all you have to do is go into settings. And if you move to the top of the settings screen, you'll see a search option. Search for zoom. And there will be a full screen zoom option. There's also options for Windows zoom. You can turn those on and actually enable double tap to zoom in, and also pinch to zoom out, and a variety of other zoom settings. I also do like the similar sized Samsung devices from a phone perspective. As far as apps go, if I'm out on the go and need to read signs or other things like that, I find the built-in camera app or the magnifier to be particularly useful. Sometimes it gets a little challenging to find the object you want to zoom in on, but for reading, wall mount menus and things of that nature, it works really well.
I was really excited when you talked about how your faith has played a part in your life, and I imagine that it can be very discouraging and disheartening to lose vision. How do you cope with that, and how has Christ played a role in that?
That's a great question, Denny, and I have to say that I always wasn't this close or this good for me. When I was in the Iron Mountain area with the computer-aided drafting design job, I was really struggling with the isolation factor. I did find a local church, and it was interesting that even though I was an adult, the youth pastor was the one that reached out to me and was able to help me work through some of the issues relating to the suicide and the isolation. I think the game changer for me was two things, really. One was I was sitting in downtown Chicago at a work function, and we were broken out into a smaller team working on a national training presentation. And there was a person on the team who started showing us pictures of a safari during a break. And one of the things that she was starting to talk about was a mission trip to Cameroon. And what she was being led to do there was to bring a team over there to install technology in schools, so servers, networks. And they had a hospital lined up instead of a school. They were also looking to do an VBS, or VBS for AIDS orphans, and something along the medical lines. They had a nurse who was part of the team, and one of the health concerns that came up was the health professionals over there understanding the importance of electrolytes. And I, for some reason, was just hooked on going on that mission trip. And this is another one of those, you know, God teaches you lessons you need to know when you need to know them. Or, you know, he doesn't a call like equipped, he equips the called. I was sitting there saying, well, I'd love to go, but gosh darn, how am I going to come up with the money to go? I'm not good at asking, and I just don't have it. So that was the first encounter with Christ, and I have to say that once I put it in his hands and actually started asking people for help, it was slow going at first, but and eventually ended up raising more than the amount of money needed. In fact, I did a presentation at church, and afterwards there was an attorney who came up, and I really didn't know the guy, but he's like, how much do you need to finish off the fundraising? And he wrote a check without a second thought. So it's very interesting in terms of learning that life lesson of asking for help. The second one was the Greater Chicago Great Banquet. That was another eye-opener about being responsible with the resources you have and doing things to help others and to the glory of God. So it does get discouraging from a vision perspective, but I think the thing to keep in mind is that you may not have the vision, but you have other talents that are useful in helping others and doing things to God's glory.
That's awesome. Thank you for sharing that. Here in the Digicom Cafe, and now it makes sense, too, that why we're located at the intersection of faith and technology. And I know you're on the cutting edge of technology. God has gifted you in many ways, your capacity to understand, communicate the things regarding technology and how we can use them for our benefit. And what a testimony, what a story. And I think this really brings to light the goodness of this hobby and how it can be used to bring much more meaning in life if you're experiencing any kind of physical maladies, or like even for older folks that can't live in their home anymore. They're bound to just a small apartment or a room. Especially with digital technology, we can use these things to continue to be a positive influence for the kingdom in this world in how we reach out and communicate with people. I keep thinking of the thought that Jesus is referred to as the word, the expression of thought, and how we in the amateur radio community use words every day to express what's going on in our hearts and our minds. Sometimes it's negative, sometimes it's positive. Hopefully here in the cafe, it will always be positive. We strive for that, where we gather here to listen, acknowledge, and share. And I hope everybody is comfortable with what we stand for here. Again, we said before, all are welcome, radio or no radio, faith or no faith. And I hope you all enjoy listening and are touched by Scott's story as one of many hams in this hobby that have found amateur radio and Christ to be of great value in their lives and give us a real purpose for living and a purpose for this hobby. This is more than just talking technology. It's more than just enjoying amateur radio. It is really a tool in our hands to be a positive influence in the world in this great hobby of ours, amateur radio. W8UFO. And also, just out of curiosity, you might comment on your call sign. Is there any significance to that? Back to you, W8UFO, KD5DLJ.
Benny, that you just picked up on something that I had kind of discussed or mentioned a couple times in the tip section, is that, you know, we all have talents that we can lend to the hobby. So while it's a challenge from a transportation perspective, one of the things that we can do is to be net control operators for functions, because that doesn't really take transportation or anything like that, maybe antennas and radios or even a couple of apps. So I'm happy to be a backup net controller for you or help in any way that I can from that perspective. The call sign. Here's the backstory on the call sign. So I had moved to Milwaukee, Wisconsin to get the engineering degree, and that fell through because of finances and money and all that good stuff. But there was a fellow who lived nearby. He was a ham radio operator, and when the Vanity call sign program came out, he said, "Well, why don't we get Vanity call signs?" And the fellow was into UFOs. He had shown me some videos, and we had talked about whether they existed or not, and things of that nature. And as a side note, you can get into a lot of discussion about that, and we won't do that here. But we decided, let's do it. And he said, "Well, I'm going to get W9UFO, and since you're from the Upper Peninsula of Michigan and from Eightland originally, maybe you could try for W8UFO. So we did, and that's how I ended up with the call sign. Unfortunately, the fellow ended up being diagnosed with a brain tumor, and it was an aggressive form of cancer. He's now a silent key, and that call sign's been reassigned. But I kept the call sign, one, and as a memory of that individual and how, you know, we can agree to disagree. So there are some things that I think are true to those stories, and some things that maybe are a little bit of a long shot, but the discussions we always had were respectful and amicable, and we had a lot of fun. The other thing is that it works really well on sideband and whatnot. So there it is, Denny. And again, if I can help with the Digicom Cafe in any way, whether it's net control or helping with the technology side of things or admin side of things, I'm happy to do it.
Well, thanks, Scott. And I already consider you a partner, and I think you would be an excellent backup for times where I'm not available. So you can count on it. And those of you that want to discuss things, he's already shared his various links where you can reach him. You can also reach him in the Digicom Cafe group on Telegram. He's more than happy to communicate with you there and probably invite you over to a couple other groups that he's a part of and very active in. Thank you so much, Scott, for being here, for being our guest, and for your story and your boldness to share. And I think other people have been touched by that story and hopefully revived a lot of interest and passion for the hobby that we enjoy so much here.
Thank you for listening to this Radio on the Rocks Cafe cast. Visit our website at digicomcafe.com to see our extensive digital buffet menu and listen to all of the live conversations on our Cafe on Ice stream. Or this and many more episodes of our Cafe cast.